This is the Brighton Book Club's Footnotes, and I am joined by my favourite bookseller and one of my favourite book people of all time, Elizabeth Perry. I'm going to have to stop fangirling at some point, but I'm not quite ready yet. Elizabeth, we're going to talk in depth about short stories right now,
yes,
because I know that you're a massive fan of them, as I am. So we're just going to fangirl about them for the next 10, 20 minutes. Sound
that
good?
Sounds good, yes.
So let's carry on talking about the selection that you were talking about in this week's podcast, in this week's episode, sorry, called Drinking Coffee Elsewhere by ZZ Packer. Tell us more about this collection.
Yeah, so all of the stories kind of feature characters who, I don't know, are going through some kind of difficulty. There's always some kind of turmoil. Often there's a kind of cruelty to the stories, but actually it's more like life is cruel and this is how people respond, which I feel like is great territory for a short story. You can just sort of drop into someone's life halfway through, and that's something that ZZ Packer does so well, kind of gives you a person's history, drops you in, and you're suddenly in their environment, in their crisis or whatever.
Arriving late and leaving early.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you tell that I am facilitate creative? When did the collection come out?
I don't actually know. I have a copy, so let me have a look. 2003.
Oh, okay. So yeah, it's not new.
No, it's not. But it has some seriously impressive quotes. John Updike was a fan. He did one of the jacket quotes on the front. But the George Saunders one is the one that I love the most, which is on the back of my copy. And he says, this particular collection is for those of us who feel that fiction exists to crack the world open again and inspire us with new love for it.
Oh,
which
is
lovely.
Lovely. Imagine George Saunders saying that about
you. I know, the dream.
Yeah, that is really nice.
Yeah.
And Zadie Smith did a really good quote.
She did,
yeah.
So she wrote, ZZ Packer writes a short story with more complexity and kindness than most people can muster in their creaking 500-page novels.
Creaking 500-page novels are something that I'm a little bit bored of, actually.
Yes.
I don't know if you are too.
No, me too. Yeah, I'm not great with books over about 320 pages, really. Mm. I do find my my attention wandering. I kind of start thinking, where was the editor?
I think that with films, actually. Mm. When they're over, you know, when they're over 2 hours, you think,
yeah,
for goodness sake.
Yeah, such a time commitment.
You should be able to get it. Yeah, no, I could have read half a book by now.
Yes, exactly.
But not a 500-page book.
No.
What is the next collection that you're going to tell us
so
about?
So the next one is called A Guide to Being Born, and
okay,
it's by another, I think, American writer called Ramona Ozabel.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is quite different, where ZZ Packer is very real and maybe a little bit gritty, the sort of like darker corners of life,
mm-hmm,
but the light in those corners as well. Ramona Ozabel's stories are quite magical realism, a little bit Angela Carter,
mm-hmm,
really strange things happening. So the first story in the collection is about a bunch of grandmothers that find themselves on this cruise ship and they realise they're essentially in purgatory. So they're all kind of waiting to pass on to the afterlife, which I love. I love,
yeah,
that kind of strangeness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there's some really lovely quotes as well. There's one from Amy Bender on, mm-hmm, the front, and she says the stories remind her of branches full of cherry blossoms.
Oh, wow.
Fresh, delicate, beautiful, expressive, and otherworldly. I do like that quote, but I do think there is a kind of hardness to the stories as well,
mm-hmm,
a sort of secret muscle in there that I really appreciate. I like that combination of a light touch with quite big, dark, heavy themes,
mm,
as well.
That's and you're one of your favourite short stories, mm, of all time is in this collection, isn't,
yeah,
it?
Yeah, my absolute favourite short story is in here. It's called The Ages, mm-hmm, and it comes towards the end of the collection. And it's not the sort of short story I really like, usually. It is overall very hopeful, like mostly just good things
That's
happen
not
in
like
it.
You.
I know, yeah. But for some reason, it just makes me feel better when I read it. There's a kind of comforting. It's a bit like someone saying to you, everything is going to be okay, and you believe them. That's the feeling it gives you when you read this story.
Huh.
So I read it when I need perking
reassurance.
Up. Yeah.
That's lovely. This was the one you were telling me has unnamed characters in it.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah. So in that story, in The Ages, no one has any names. So the two main characters are just called the boy and the girl.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, there is the man in the story.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like that in general in fiction. I quite like unnamed characters.
Do you think it makes more sense to have unnamed characters in a short story than a novel?
I think maybe, yeah. With a short story, you've got a very concentrated amount of time, mm-hmm. sort of physically as well. You might only have 7 or 8 pages. Mm-hmm. And so you can maintain a kind of air of mysteriousness. You don't have to understand everything about a short story. I often don't. Sometimes I get to the end of one and think, oh, I responded, but I'm not sure I could explain what that was about.
Another creative writing buzz thing that I say is that the endings of short stories or flash fiction or short pieces need to ring like a bell. You need to be walking home thinking, what was that? What was that about? I read one of Hannah Vincent's short stories over the weekend, and I'm still thinking about it. I'm still not sure if I got it, you know, or what did I miss? But the fact that I'm still thinking about it is so key and something that with a novel, you kind of can easily skim through chapters.
Yeah.
Whereas with short stories, you have to read every word because every single word counts.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can't kind of faff around. And I don't like faffing in any part of my life.
No, you don't.
I really don't. So I think that's why short stories appeal to me so much.
Yeah.
Is because, you know, there's a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Yes.
And I like things like that.
Yeah.
I like projects like that. I like, you know, sessions like that where there's kind of clear structure and you can finish it and move on, but it still stays with you.
And I feel like we expect novels to explain everything. We expect to get to the end, close the book, and feel we've met the end, we're satisfied with it. Whereas with short stories, they're much more playful.
I think so. And I think also, often I find that the worst part of novels are the endings.
Yes.
And I can really be invested in a book and really excited about it and really on this journey. And the last 20, 30 pages, I think, oh, for goodness sake.
Yeah,
you know,
I often
you didn't,
find that.
Do you?
Yeah.
and then that's the feeling that you're left with.
Yes.
It doesn't ring or it closes off or it's unsatisfying.
Yeah.
Because you've been on this massive, epic journey, you want some kind of ending, you know, like a satisfying one, but you don't get that. But you don't need that with short stories.
No, you don't.
Tell us about your final collection, please.
So my final collection is sort of a cheat because it's an author's entire body of work. But the author is Dorothy Parker, who I absolutely adore. So most of her work is published in collected. So what I've got is called The Portable Dorothy Parker, which is everything, poems, short stories, book reviews. You can get slightly smaller collections, but for the most part, you will get everything she's written, which can be quite daunting for a reader.
Yes, it's a hefty book.
It is, yeah. but she's so worth it. I think her short stories are just magnificent.
What do you love about her?
I love her darkness. I love her humour as well. It's very easy to dismiss Dorothy Parker as just being funny, and she is funny, but she's a lot more than that. And I wonder if a lot of her short stories are read as just kind of funny little moments in interesting people's lives. And actually, a lot of the time, there are undercurrents of really serious political commentary or social commentary. There's one in here where she's approaching talking about abortion rights. There's one about the civil rights movement. So there's a lot more heft than I think we tend to give her credit for.
Can you read the blurb, please?
Yes. So it says, not very much at all, which is something I have an issue with.
Oh, that's really interesting. So actually, if you look at it, it looks a little bit like a graphic novel.
Yeah.
It's kind of stripped, like a graphic strip like that. That's interesting.
And what it says is, packed within this delightful volume, you will find classic short stories such as, and then it basically lists a few of the titles, which is not all that helpful. And I think delightful is quite dismissive because, like I said, things like abortion come up, and that's quite a serious topic that deserves, I think, a little bit more weight to it.
Do you think, this is classic me here, but do you think being called delightful is a really gendered thing? Like, if a man is funny, he's not delightful, is he?
No.
Or quaint or cute.
Yeah, and it's funny because delightful is not a word I think I ever really use. I'm not sure I would know when something was delightful. It's not something I would recognise.
The last time I used it was when I saw Kylie at Pride.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I just
that's
thought
fair
she
enough.
Was delightful.
Delightful.
She was lovely and delightful. Yeah. But apart from that, no. And I don't want my books to be delightful necessarily.
No, and definitely not my short stories. I want the short stories to leave me slightly changed. Yeah. And I think usually they do, and Dorothy's definitely do.
I am much more likely to read short stories about really dark, difficult subject matters than spend a lot of time getting bogged down in a novel about them.
Yeah, me too.
So, Elizabeth, finally,
yes.
thank you so much for all you've done
and
all your help on the on the Brighton Book Club. Will you come back and see us from Oxford?
I would love to.
And will
to.
You send us your recommendations?
Of course.
And one more time, for the people at the back, how can we follow you and how can we get your incredible two weekly
yeah, it's so funny. Everyone always says monthly and that's just because I'm often late. It's supposed to be fortnightly. The newsletter you can sign up for at tinyletter.com/shelf-improvement. Mm-hmm. And on Instagram, I'm ec.reads.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.